Hi, this is Martin Jenkins. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to share this message with you. I've entitled, Do by Nature. In Paul's letter to the church at Rome, he makes this statement in the 14th verse regarding the Gentiles, specifically those outside of the covenant God had made with Abraham. Paul wrote that when they do by nature the things contained in the law, what is Paul saying? He has just identified what changes in a person when they're born again. Their nature changes. We need to understand what a nature is, because when we understand what a nature is and what it means to have a new nature, we will be able to answer many questions about how we are to live now that we're born again. I hope that you enjoy this message. Let's begin with prayer. Father God, we are thankful for the opportunity that we have to study your word. We're thankful for the ministry of your Holy Spirit. We open our hearts to you, Holy Ghost. We welcome you. We expect to receive from you tonight. In Jesus' name. Lord Jesus, we worship you and thank you for the gift that you've given us, the life that you've given us. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you so much. We come against the powers of darkness that would in any way attempt to bring distractions or disturbances. We arrest you now in Jesus' name. Heavenly Father, I believe this message is going to be pertinent and is going to help many people. In Jesus' name, amen. So as I was sitting here preparing for this message tonight, I was reminded of the message that I taught last week. Now, this isn't necessarily going to be a series, but I'd just like to review just a couple of minutes what I taught last week, because it's going to have something to do with what we're going to talk about this evening, okay? So last week, we looked at the book of Matthew, chapter 13, the parable of the sower. And we really didn't look specifically at the actual parable as much as what we did the comments that were made by the disciples to Jesus, and conversely, the response that Jesus had to the disciples when they questioned him about why he taught in parables. So let's start there, because I think it'll be important for where we're going to go at this evening. And again, that's Matthew 13. And we're not going to read the parable of the sower, but we're going to look beginning in, verse 10. And this is after he's given the parable, but has not given the explanation. And it says, "The disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, Because," now look at these words, "it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given." So we'll stop there just for a second. Now, keep in mind, this is before Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. This is before the new birth actually became available for mankind to be born again. So this that he's given, Jesus, to the disciples, is the ability to understand, to comprehend the things that he is teaching to the people. They weren't born again, but he opened their understanding so that they could understand what he was teaching. Now, in this case, apparently, even though they had the ability, they still didn't understand what Jesus was saying. And that's why he made the statement to them, where he said, "Because it's given unto you to know the mysteries." He's saying, "I've given this to you you're supposed to understand. But to them, it is not given. To them, those people that are outside of this group of 12, they don't have the ability. So what Jesus is saying is, I'm going to give them this lesson in a form that they will be able to remember in the future and draw from at a future date in order to see and perceive and comprehend what I've said now. That future date is when they're born again, when the new nature is available to them. They can understand it and they can receive from it. Glory to God. But to the disciples, they were to have that ability right then. And yet they were still struggling to understand Jesus. But the point that I want to make here is, and I don't want this to slip by here without really emphasizing this point. The title of the message last week was The Haves and the Have-Nots. Those that have this ability, why do they have this ability? You know, when he said that there would be this ability in the future, what was it? It was the ability to understand. Well, why do we have, as born-again children of God, this ability to understand? It's because we have been reborn with a new nature that is able to comprehend the things of God. And that's what we want to talk about tonight, is this new nature. You see, you know, it's like I was talking to one of my coworkers today, and I found myself struggling a little bit at one point in the conversation, because I was attempting to answer some of his questions and do so with the Bible, but realizing that, you know, in the event that this person who I wasn't sure was born again or not born again, in the event that he's not born again, there's really not much that I can get over to his understanding, you know, because he does not have the capacity to understand. But see, we have that capacity as born-again children of God. We have a nature that enables us to not only be taught the things of God, but to comprehend, to understand the things of God. Praise God for it. This is what we received. See, Adam in the Garden of Eden had the ability to understand everything that God was saying to him. It wasn't a mystery to him. He didn't sit there and scratch his head every time he went walking in the cool of the evening with God. He wasn't sitting there trying to get God to explain to him, "Now, God, can you say that a little bit slower? I didn't really catch what you said there. Can you repeat that?" That didn't happen. And why did it not happen? Because Adam had complete understanding. His spirit was alive unto God. He had a nature given to him by God. He was made in the image of God. There was nothing in him that would keep him from understanding the things of God until he committed sin and death entered into him. At that point, something on the inside of Adam changed forever, at least until Jesus came to redeem mankind. It was set. It was in concrete. What was this? What changed? His nature changed. He went from the nature of God to the nature of his new father, which was the devil. And as a child of the devil, his nature was a fallen nature, and it was dominated by spiritual death. They didn't have, all the people through the Old Testament did not have the ability to comprehend the things of God. Boy, I just, I think that's so important for us to understand that, and not only to realize they couldn't understand, but why could they not understand? They were spiritually dead, they had a nature that was given to them by the devil. They lost the nature that God had given to them. And now, you might be asking yourself, this word nature, can you explain this to me, Mark? What do you mean a nature? It's like anything that's born. Anything, you look in the animal kingdom, for example, they're different kind of animals. When they're born, you can see very quickly the kind of nature that many of the animals have. Let's say, for example, such as a lion, okay, king of the jungle. That lion is what is referred to as a predator. You know, they are the ones, they're on the food chain, they are at the top of the food chain in the animal world. The lion has a nature to do what? To kill. That lion's nature will chase down its prey and kill it and eat it. Now, is that something that they have to be taught in a classroom, or is it just what we refer to as instinct? It's instinct. Now, they, as a young animal, I'm sure that they're educated to some degree by their parents through just watching the mother hunt, but that instinct kicks in, and the nature kicks in. Most importantly, when they see those animals, when they see the prey, you know, they're not going up to them trying to play with them. They're trying to eat them. And it's because they are born that way. You know, they're not born like a gazelle that's running away from the predator. No, they're not running away. They're running to the prey. They're running at the prey. They're not running away. The lion is running at the prey. And it's doing so because that's the nature that it was born with. It was born this way. The gazelle, it was born to run away. It was born to run very fast away. You'll never see a gazelle turn on a lion and attempt to fight a lion. Never. Why won't you see that? Because it's not in the gazelle's nature to do so. The gazelle's nature is to run away. See, these are examples of a nature. It's what these animals were born with. And so consequently, it's like a hard drive in a computer. Once that hard drive has been written on, it's set. That's the way it's going to run forever. That animal isn't, that lion, for example, is not going to wake up one day and decide, you know, I think I'm going to start eating grass. No, it wants fresh meat every day. It's not looking for grass. You know, he's not sitting there thinking, well, I would just love a nice juicy tomato. No, he wants a nice juicy gazelle. And it will always be that way. From day one to the very last day that lion is alive. Because that is its nature. And that's what causes their understanding to operate in the way it does. In other words, when that lion is walking around its territory and it's looking at the different things that are around it, the different animals, it's the understanding that it has. Once it sees a prey, it understands instinctively, I am supposed to go and eat that. I am going to eat that. They don't have to have someone tell them. They don't have to debate the issue. They don't have to be convinced of it. When they're hungry, their understanding tells them, there is a prey. You're hungry. Kill it and eat it. It's just that simple. And likewise, when the prey sees a lion, it doesn't have to be convinced that it needs to run. it doesn't have to have someone come up to it and counsel it and tell it, you're a gazelle. You're supposed to run. That lion is going to eat you if you don't run. It doesn't have to do that at all. Why? Because in its nature, there is an understanding of the role that the lion plays in the gazelle's life. It is there to eat it. It understands this. It understands it. Why? Because it is in its nature. It realizes its role in the food chain. It realizes that it's the prey and the predator is going to try and eat it. Okay? So that's just very quickly a explanation, a short explanation, trying to explain what this nature is. So when Adam fell, and he basically went through a rebirth, if you will, out of life, spiritual life, and into spiritual death. He was, in other words, born again, spiritually dead. In this rebirth into spiritual death, his nature changed. And with that change of nature, he lost the understanding that he had to understand the things of God. See, when that nature is changed in Adam from light to darkness, when he went from spiritual life to spiritual death, the ability to understand, to comprehend the things of God completely left him. And now he has an understanding given to him through this nature that causes him to think differently. And this is the part that I think too many Christians don't understand. They don't understand that they've been given this ability to understand the things of God. But the people that are in the world, they don't have that ability. They don't have that understanding because they don't have the nature of God. They have the nature of the devil, which really should help us to understand why it is that the people in the world look at us the way they do. They have a fallen nature. Let me give you a scripture talking about the nature that they have. Over in Ephesians, if you'll turn there with me, I'm going to look at the second chapter of Ephesians. We should probably begin in verse 1 and just kind of get the flow of this. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. So right here we're talking about someone who has apparently been born again, but they previously, as everyone is initially, they were spiritually dead. And so with that spiritual death, let's go on and read what that person was like. Wherein, verse 2, in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we had our conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were, now look at this word, by nature the children of wrath, even as others. They were by nature. What is that talking about? What is that saying? That is, it's saying that every human being, get a hold of this, every human being that comes through the gateway of their mother's womb into this world is born with a nature given to them from their spiritual father, the devil. It is a fallen nature. Every single person has this. No person except Jesus came through that birth canal with a nature from God. Only Jesus came with a nature given to him by his Father. All of us came through that birth canal with a nature given to us by our father, the devil. I know it sounds so horrible. That Mark, what are you saying? That little cute little baby laying there in that cradle, that newborn has a fallen nature? That is exactly what I'm saying. It doesn't come in as alive and then somewhere along the way they lose it. No, I'll give you proof of that. You know, think about the last time you were around a one-year-old, or, well, let's just say a two-year-old or a three-year-old, or you get two of them together and they're playing. Now, how many times have you seen that nature of selfishness, that nature of where they want to fight with each other, that nature that they want to play rough and bad with each other? Where does that come from? It certainly isn't the nature that God has. It is the nature that the enemy has. And I'll give you another example. Which one of you parents taught your children to lie? Which one of you did that? And you're thinking to yourself, well, I never taught my child to lie. Never. I tried to teach my kid never to lie. And so, if that being the case, why was it? Where did they learn to lie? How did they know to lie? It was in their nature to lie. Just as it was in their nature to fight with their brothers and sisters and other kids, fight and to steal. So, you know, there's some kids, they'll be in a department store, and next thing you know, they're stealing something. Well, where did they learn that? What nature is that coming out of? Is that coming out of a new nature, a reborn human spirit? No. That is coming out of the fallen nature, the nature that was given to them by the first Adam. And it will be there and continue to be there until what? What will change that nature? Well, that, I tell you, that was the dilemma that God had. What a dilemma, too. Because every person born into this world came into being with that fallen nature. How could you change it? What could God do to somehow take us from death back to life, to cause us to have a nature that would understand and comprehend the things of God? What could God do? It wasn't like God could say, here, I'm going to give this to you, human being, you poor, pathetic thing. I feel sorry for you. Here, there you are in the world. Here I am outside the world. You basically shut the door to me through your actions, but I'm going to give you a nature. Here, take this, and I'm going to give this to you right now. See, you couldn't do that. Why? He lost his privilege, to his right to walk in this planet, because he had given that to us. We were the ones that he had put in control of this planet, and then we relinquished that to the hands of the devil. The devil was the one, basically, at that point, that was calling the shots, at least on this planet. And so here's God on the outside looking at us on the inside, wanting us to understand. I mean, can you imagine the frustration that I know God doesn't get frustrated, but boy, if he ever could, that would be one time to get frustrated. There you are, looking from the outside in, looking at your man, your creation, and they can't understand you at all. It's like talking two different languages. It's like God is speaking English and we're speaking Chinese. And there's just no understanding either one of us. Until the new birth takes place, until somebody believes, somebody receives a reborn human spirit alive unto God. They're reborn with a nature, with a new nature given to them by God. Hallelujah. With that, they have the capacity to understand. The lights are turned on. Hallelujah. They can see and comprehend and understand the things of God, finally. And so that's what Adam lost when he sinned, and that's what Jesus returned to us with the new birth. That new nature, the nature of God, the ability to understand. Let's look at a few verses to kind of solidify this in our thinking. One, we're going to look at Romans, first of all, the second chapter of Romans. In Romans chapter 2, let's begin looking at the target verse is going to be in the 14th verse. Let's start back here in verse 11. For there is no respect of persons with God. That's a really good verse right there. That verse right there, I think, should be highlighted in every person's Bible. There's no respect of persons. He doesn't elevate one group of people over another. It's like a lot of people, and I say this with I say this kindly and with love, but I see this happening, and it really bothers me. You know, the Jewish nation, you know, God does not hold the Jewish people that are simply born of the lineage of Abraham. He doesn't hold them higher because of their genealogy, because of their connection in the natural. He doesn't hold them higher than a born-again child of God. Absolutely not. It basically, we can look at scriptures that say that when we're born again, we actually become the Jews because our nature has changed. And so this idea of being a respecter of persons, he's not holding one group of people and elevating them above others. He's not doing that, because that is a respecter of persons. Verse 12, for as many as have sinned without law shall also perish without law, and as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. So what he's saying here, and it's interesting that he starts this off by talking about being a respecter of persons. He's saying, I'm not a respecter of persons. God's not a respecter of persons. You know, the people that sin in the law are going to be judged by the law. He's talking about the Jewish people here. He's really saying that God's not going to elevate them and not hold them accountable for their actions. And so, if he did, he'd be a respecter of persons. For as many as have sinned, verse 12, without law shall also perish without law, and as many as have sinned in the law shall be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers. See, the Jewish people, they were not the doers. Why were they not the doers of the law? Because they were spiritually dead. They had a nature still that was given to them by the first Adam, spiritually dead. And so, consequently, God gave them the law, and the purpose of it was to show them they were spiritually dead. Now, let's talk about this just for a minute. He had to show these people that they had a fallen nature. He had to show, he had to show all of humanity that humanity was spiritually dead. And the way he did it was, it's like he picked a sample group of people out of this entire race of mankind. He picked a sample group. You know, if you do a statistical analysis of whatever, you take a sample group, a sample of the larger group. You select a sample group to test, and your basic assumption is, based on what results we receive from this sample group, we're going to assume this upon the whole group. That's what happened with the Jewish people. God selected them as the sample group for all of humanity, and then gave them the law and said, keep the law. Well, they couldn't. And they couldn't because they were spiritually dead. They had a fallen nature. They didn't have the ability to understand the things of God. And so the end result was to prove to them that they're spiritually dead. And what happened? They basically said, we're not spiritually dead. We've kept the law. And all the while, they weren't keeping the law. So, in God's, the end result was, since the sample group is spiritually dead, all of the world is spiritually dead. And that's the reason for the law, was to prove this to humanity. All right, let's go on here. Verse 13, once again, for not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, see, the Gentiles, they didn't have the law. They weren't part of the Jewish nation. When they, which had not the law, the Gentiles, when they do by nature the things contained in the law, when they do by nature the things contained in the law. What is it saying? What does that mean, Mark? We're talking about the Gentiles that are born again. When the Gentiles were born again, they received a new nature. They had the ability to understand the things of God. They had the ability to comprehend, and not only comprehend, but to do the things that God wanted them to do. So when this nature enables a person to follow God, that's the nature. That's what you have. You have, you who are born again, children of God, your nature is not the nature, the fallen nature from the first Adam, which is the nature of the devil. No. You who are born again, you have a new nature. You've been given the ability to understand the things of God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. This is what God has done for us. God went through all of this in order for us to be born again into his family, but then he did not leave us without a change of nature. That was part and parcel of the whole thing. We've got to get these people born again into our family as our children, and we need to give them this new nature, the ability to understand and comprehend, so we can do what? We can commune with them. They'll understand us. Well, it just seems like it's so easy. I don't know how we missed this for so long. I don't know how we have not been able to recognize that this is just good old fashioned common sense. It's what it is. That God would make this available for humanity so that he could talk to them, so that he could commune with them, so that otherwise if humanity got born again but they maintained a fallen nature, God still would not have had the ability to communicate with them. They still couldn't understand the things of God. He had to provide within the new birth the nature, his nature, for us, so that we could comprehend and understand the things of God. He's so much more advanced than we will ever even come close to. He had this all figured out from the beginning of the world. And here we're still scratching our heads trying to figure out what a nature is. how is it that this guy who's not born again, how come he doesn't understand the things of God the way I do? Because he doesn't have a nature like you do. You have that ability. And furthermore, with this ability to understand, you have exactly what every other Christian has, preacher or not. It's not that preachers have some special other understanding far beyond what any other Christian has. No, that's not the case. And any preacher that would give you that impression, they're misleading you. We all have the same ability. I'm not special because God called me to teach. He has given me an anointing to teach, but that doesn't give me any special privileges in my understanding of the things of God. You have it just the way that I do, and that's why I'm able to teach you, because this anointing, it makes the understanding easier, but it doesn't make it any easier for me. I still have to go through the same process that you do to receive from God. So in the future, don't look at preachers and put them on some kind of false pedestals, pedestals that they don't deserve to have. And some of them like it. And, you know, I got caught in that trap before of enjoying being put on the pedestal. And believe me, when that pedestal gets jerked away from you, well, then you're trying to put your life back together again. I'd rather not get put on there in the first place. I'd rather just recognize, hey, I'm a preacher because he called me and he gave me this anointing, period. And it doesn't make me any better than anybody else. It just makes me responsible for following what he wants me to do, period. Simple as that. And whenever I teach people, they are able to understand easier because of what? Not because I'm a great teacher, but because of the anointing of God on my life flowing through me. So we don't need to be taken as ministers credit for things that we're not responsible for. You know, and I think that happens quite a bit. All right, let's go back here now to Romans chapter 2. We're looking at 14. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law. In other words, they don't have to have somebody telling them what the law said. Get a hold of this. Because there are denominations that they feel like it's their responsibility to tell you what's right and what's wrong. Why? They make you feel like you don't have a new nature, and you do. And they're so focused on sin, for heaven's sakes. You know, they spend all their time trying to get you afraid that you're sinning. And all the while, we have a nature that nature is going to bear witness with us when we do something wrong. You know, and we don't have to have somebody tell us. If for heaven's sakes. If you need proof of that, the next time you walk into a department store, I tell you what you do. You just pick up an article off the shelf and you just try walking right out the store with that article and not paying for it. And you tell me that you don't have something on the inside of you fighting you to not do that. See, that's your nature, fighting you to not do, not steal. And you don't have to have a law, a written law, that you look at and read that says don't steal. No. Your nature on the inside of you has been given to you. That nature will let you know when you're doing something wrong, when you better put that thing down. You better pay for it. You want that? You want that little trinket? You better pay for it. You can't be stealing that. That's not what is in your nature. You see, let's take that and apply that back to the lion. See, that nature of that lion is to go and eat that gazelle. He doesn't have to have someone hand him a book and he reads in there, okay, lions, let's see, what do lions do again? They eat the gazelle. All right. They don't eat grass. Boy, I'm glad I read that in that book. Boy, if I hadn't read that in that book about not eating grass, I was heading right out there to start grazing right alongside the water buffalo. That's ridiculous. You know it can't be, that it's not that way. Why is it not that way? Because that nature dictates to that animal what it's going to do. And with us, see, we have the ability to know what that nature is telling us. That nature is saying, you know, you better pay for that little trinket. You better not walk out the door with it. Now, here's the thing. You can override that nature. You can override those bearing witness on the inside of you. You can override that. And you do that enough times, and you're going to turn that off. That, you know, it's almost like you just take the volume button and you turn it, keep turning it down, keep turning it down, keep turning it down. Oh, it's off now. You keep breaking that or violating that witness on the inside of you, and eventually you don't have it anymore. I don't want to be that way. I don't want to be so hard-hearted that God has to send some prophets along my way to get my attention because I have turned such a deaf ear to him because I've violated that new nature so much. He's got to send somebody along to correct me. I don't want to be that way. You know, the big movement in Christian circles was, oh, I've got to go find me a prophet, somebody to prophesy over me, somebody to tell me my future. It almost sounded to me like they were reading tarot cards. I got to have a fortune teller, and they run around. And that is absolutely not what God ever had intended for prophets. Never, never, never. And that's what it's turned out to be with people. It couldn't be farther from the truth. All the while, God wants you to commune with him, and you have a nature that's been given to you to do that very thing. You don't have to go run around looking for somebody to hear from God for you. Boy, I tell you, that's dangerous. That's dangerous ground. People start telling you stuff that they think you want to hear, and they put the label of God on it. That's just bad news. So let's go back here. I don't want to go down that rabbit trail anymore. Romans chapter 2, we're seeing here in verse 14 that the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law. These having not the law are law unto themselves. They do this by nature. Why? Because they have been born again. They've received a new nature. When they were born again, and they have a reborn human spirit, with that reborn human spirit comes part and parcel, a new nature, the nature of Christ comes into them, the ability to understand the things of God, and now they don't have to have a written law telling them, do this, don't do that, do this, don't do that, don't do that, don't you dare covet your neighbor's wife. Oh, I didn't have any idea that was wrong. See, you're either lying or you're never not even born again. It's one of the two. See, that's how you can tell if somebody is even born again or not. You just follow them around a little bit and see what they do. They'll let you know real quick if they've got a new nature. You won't have to wonder. These people wondering if they're born again or not. That's funny. Well, let's see. What do you do? What do you like to do? Well, I like to go to bars every once in a while. I like to gamble a little bit. Well, you just look just like the world looks. Well, I guess I do. Well, then you probably aren't born again, because you don't have a nature that doesn't want to do that kind of stuff. Your nature, the nature you have, wants to do that kind of stuff. Well, that's the nature that the enemy has. See how that works? If your nature is in line with the nature of this world, you're not born again. It's that simple. See, when I got born again, something on the inside of me changed. My want to changed. I didn't want to do the things I had previously done. I didn't want to do that anymore. Now my flesh, this part on the outside, now it didn't get the memo. It still enjoyed sin. And there had to be a time period of putting it in its place, letting the outer man know that the inner man was going to rule over it. See, that's the change. When you get born again, the change goes from the mental person, the natural person, and their soulish, the soul part of them ruling and controlling, to the spirit man ruling and controlling. That change has to take place. And in a lot of Christians, that change is not taking place. They're still governed by their soul. They're still allowing their soul to make the decisions instead of their spirit man. Their spirit man is kind of waiting off in the shadows, and the soulish man is the one in the driver's seat making all the decisions. That's not the way it ought to be. Why, Mark? Because that soulish man, if it's not being renewed with the Word of God, is still thinking with the mind of this world. The only way that changes is when you put into practice Romans 12:2, to be transformed by the renewing of your mind with what? Renewed with the Word of God. But even at that, we're to follow the nature that we have received when we were born again. And it's the soul's responsibility is to give that new nature place, to follow that new nature. And what happens, the soul has to give up its control. See, it's been in control all this time. It's the one that governed whether or not you did this or didn't do this, because it recognized that what was coming out of that fallen nature previously, if it wasn't controlled, you were in trouble. Because all that thing wanted to do was bad stuff, sin, steal, kill, destroy. See, that's right there. That's the things of the devil. And so the soulish man, the mind, said, look, we have to control this person. We can't let what's coming out of that fallen nature, we can't let it be the governing force here, or else this guy's going to end up in prison. So we're gonna be the gatekeeper, and we're gonna filter what's coming out of that fallen man, and if, you know, we're gonna determine what we will do and what we won't do. We're not gonna let that spirit man, that fallen spirit, dictate that to us. We decide. We're the soul, the mind, will, the emotions, the intellect. We're going to make the decisions here. But then when we're born again and the nature changes, the problem is that all of our life, our soul has been the one in control. Now it has to relinquish its control to the spirit man. And that's where the rub is, giving it over. You know, basically the soul bowing its knee to the spirit man. The soul wants to continue to rationalize everything, think everything out. The spirit man is going to take it by faith, going to believe it because the Word of God says it. The natural man, the soul, says, no, I've got to see it. I got to feel it. I got to touch it. Excuse me. Or I'm not going to believe it. See, that's where the battle is. It's on the inside of us. It's taking this Word of God and saying, the Word of God says it, I believe it. That's it. I don't need any more proof. And that requires your spirit to be in control to make those kind of decisions. Your soul won't take God's word like that because it has to feel something, it has to touch it, it has to be something tangible. And that's where the dilemma is. So let's look at just a few more. Actually, we're coming down here to the end. Let me give you, let's see, in Romans, we're in the second chapter, the 27th verse. Look at that real quick. I have to start at the 26th verse. Therefore, if the uncircumcision, see, when they use that term there, uncircumcision, what they're saying is they're talking about the people that weren't Jews, they were Gentiles. When they keep the righteousness of the law, shall not his uncircumcision be counted for circumcision? In other words, because the nature's changed in this rascal, he's gone from being spiritually dead to spiritually alive. He has a nature given to him by God. So now he's following the law. Is he not? Shall not his uncircumcision be counted for circumcision? In other words, you know, we can see there's a change here. We can see it. This guy is different. Or can't we count his uncircumcision as being circumcision? Can't we all acknowledge this guy now is a born-again child of God? Can't we all recognize that? Can't we see it? Because he doesn't have to look at the law. He's living it. Because he's living by this new nature. Hallelujah. So, you know, the terminology of circumcision is talking about whether or not a person's in the covenant, is really what it boils down to. When God spoke to Abraham and he talked to him about having a son, he told him on the eighth day, you're going to circumcise him into this covenant that we have. You're going to cut off the foreskin of your child. And that cut of circumcision speaks of covenant. So now we're looking at it here and saying, okay, here's a person that's uncircumcised. He's not been a part of the covenant that God cut with Abraham. But we see that he lives the life that he's supposed to live, that his nature is lining up with the nature of God. So can we assume that this person is in the covenant, that he has been reborn, that his nature has changed, that he has accepted the lordship of Jesus, and in doing so, he has stepped into this covenant that is between God the Father and Jesus, and consequently, he is now a child of God? Can we assume that? because of this nature change, because we see that he is abiding by the law whether without having to even look at it. Yes, you can assume that. Hallelujah. So the nature, the new nature, that's what we're talking about tonight, our new nature, and how that gives us the ability to understand the things of God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. For the people that are on the outside looking in, the people that don't have a new nature, what are they going to have to do? They're going to have to do one thing: accept the Lordship of Jesus. Be born again. Receive that new nature. And you'll understand the things of God. Until then, you're fighting a losing battle, trying to understand with a natural mind. You'll never understand it. Never, never, never. Israel couldn't. They couldn't do it for all those generations, because you can't understand with that fallen nature. It's not possible. And Jesus knew that. That's why he gave them parables, so that eventually, once they're born again, they could look at that parable and they could understand what he was saying. They could recount it, remember that story form, and understand what's being said. We have a new nature. We're born again. I hope that helps you tonight. I hope you're able to realize that there is something different about you now that you're born again, and it's that nature that God's given to you. Amen. Let me pray for you. Father, I thank you so much. I am so thankful for the nature that you've given to me. When I became born again, your child, a member of your family, I was born of your spirit, with your nature, and I have the capacity to understand the things of God. Thank you. I pray for every person listening to this that what I've taught here in this lesson, that they're able to grab hold of it, apply it to their lives, realize that they can comprehend the things of God. Hallelujah. Help them to recognize the new nature that they have as born again children of God. I thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hi, this is Mark. It's been my pleasure to share this message with you. I hope that you receive something from it. If you'd like to contact our ministry, you can do so at www.markjenkinsministries.org. I hope that you'll join us again. Be blessed.